Good morning and welcome to everyone this morning. It seems that quite a few of us got the email on the mask, change in the mask policy. Still being vigilant, but able to loosen up those restrictions, so that's very nice and very glad to be able to do that. For those of you listening on Facebook and the radio, please stay tuned after the service for our announcements. We'll have some announcements about maybe not the pancake and sausage this year, just the sausage and the voters' meetings and some things going on here at Zion. But we'll do that after the service is over. Let us turn to our opening hymn, The Church's One Foundation.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, January 17th, 2021 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 644, The Church's One Foundation, hymn number 644 found in the Lutheran service book. Zion Lutheran Church is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God. Nancy Lair is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in celebration of her baptism on January 21st, 1971.
We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether.
You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it.
Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
To God on high. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, is from the book of 1 Samuel, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went down and lay in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our catechetical review in regards to Christian questions and their answers: do you hope to be saved?
Yes, that is my hope.
In whom then do you trust?
In my dear Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is Christ?
The Son of God, true God and man.
Our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never! Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Praise The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we confess our common Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the sermon hymn, "Come Follow Me."
The sermon hymn is number 688, "Come Follow Me, the Savior Spake," number 688 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
the sermon text this morning from our gospel reading. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said, "Follow me." Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, in our text for today, I think there's a lot of building blocks. First of all, right, what's going on? Jesus finds Philip. Philip finds Nathanael. Okay, and what's going on with all of this finding? Everybody's going around, we're finding people. Jesus is finding people. Philip and Nathanael are being found. If we were to back up, just before this text, it's Andrew and Simon Peter. Okay, well, what is going on? Well, you know what's going on. Gospeling is going on. Evangelism is going on, and you know, you think, well, what is the evangel and evangelizing? What is the evangel? That is a term that means the good news. So what's going on? The good newsing is going on. Now, what is that good news? The good news is that we are saved not of our own works, but we are saved through the person and the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so that is the good news. Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God in the flesh, came down from heaven, is bearing our sins, died for them, rose for them, right? Paid the price for them. And then we gospel people, we evangelize, we go and we tell about this. So this is what's going on. Now we're jumping ahead right now. When I say there's a lot of building blocks going on, there's a whole bunch in here that I think we, when we read it, we take this for granted. But maybe some other people wouldn't take it for granted. Okay, so let's see. First, there is the confidence that the cause, now remember, this is in the context of Philip going to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. Right? You got to figure the context. Remember the context of what's going on. Okay, so we're coming into this with certain presuppositions, things we understand, things we see in this. Like first, we understand that the cosmos was created by God. Right? There is a confidence that we are a special creation of God. Now, as a special creation of God, we are loved by God, we are cared for by God, we are prized by God. And yet there is a problem, right? Because a lot of us, when we look at the world around us, don't see that. We don't feel that. It isn't always apparent that we are a special creation of God, loved and doted over by our Heavenly Father, right? As a matter of fact, it becomes quite apparent that the world is just a wee bit of a wreck. Okay, so now there's a kind of an issue going on here with this, right? So okay, that's true enough, right? So the issues in the world, we know, again, here's what we're building blocks. We know the issues in the world are due to the fact that our first parents rebelled against God. They sinned against God. And this sin, their sin is transmitted to us through our parents. We call this original sin, right? It is an inherited sin, right? So what did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? They tried to make things right. They tried to hide, right? They went out, they hid, and what else did they do, right? They sewed together fig leaves to cover their nakedness because they understood that they were naked and they felt shame, right? So they sewed together fig leaves to hide themselves from God. God was in the garden. Where are you? Where didn't you come? Well, I was hiding because I was scared. Okay, so we get this whole thing going on. Adam and Eve knew that they had separated themselves from God. Now, God, in the face of his defiant children, did not wipe them out. He did not say, well, heck with you, I'm starting over. Okay? First thing God does, and his reaction to all of this, is that he is going to send a mediator. First thing he does, he gives a promise that he is going to make things right between his fallen creation and himself. He is going to send a savior. He's going to send a mediator. He's going to send one who will repair the relationship between God and humanity. So what is our Bible? Right? What is our Bible then? Our Bible, all of the scriptures are the very history of how God fulfilled that promise to send the savior. So the law, right? Because this is what Philip and Bartholomew and all the disciples at this time, the New Testament wasn't written yet. So you constantly hear them referring to the scriptures. For them, the scriptures were what we call the Old Testament, right? So Philip and Nathaniel. We see this the history of how God fulfilled that promise to save. So the law, which was written by Moses, and all of the prophets were and are the vehicles that God chose to transmit His word of promise from one generation to the next, until in the course of time the Messiah did come. Right? So the word is exceptionally important. This is how God transmits His promise from one generation to the next generation. So what is going on? Because we are created by God, because we are a special creation of God, and we bear the image of God, although it is fallen, all human beings, every human being, have this sense of the other. Right? Let's just call it the other. There's something bigger than us out there. But this thing, we cannot find out what the other is without the special revelation of God. We need God's revelation to show us who He is. Right, so a natural knowledge of God doesn't get us all the way there. Now, probably this is why people feel as spiritual, and that's why there are many paths, quote unquote, to God. Now, you and I know there is not many paths to God. There is only one way to God, right? But because humanity has this spiritual feeling, people come up with ways to God all on their own, right? But our task revolves around gospelizing people, making that word up, gospelizing people. What do? It has been revealed to us who the true God is. Our responsibility then is to go out and tell other people who the true God is. The good news is that we don't climb into heaven. The good news is that God came down to each and every one of us. Our focus is not on what we must do to be saved. In fact, we insist that there's nothing we can do to be saved. Isn't that what the word saved implies? Right? You got to picture somebody floating in the ocean. Right? And they've maybe got a little life ring because their ship sank. Okay? So they got a little life ring with a rope on it. Okay? And you see this picture in. And another ship comes up to rescue people. Does the person floating, drowning in the ocean go, "I've got a rope here. Catch it. Catch it." No, they don't save themselves. They need saved. The person on the ship either rows a boat out to them and lifts them out of the water, or they drop another life preserver out and they pull the person who needs saved in. So the very word saved implies that there's nothing we can do all on our own to do this. We need saved, right? But we believe that quite literally God does everything to save us. We do not find Him. He comes and He finds us. And how does this finding take place? Right. The finding takes place through His Word. Creation is past. Redemption is accomplished through God's Christ. But what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit carries on this work of proclaiming the work of Jesus unceasingly to the last day. To do this, God has appointed a community on earth through which He speaks, through which He does His work. The Holy Spirit brings us into this community, and you and I know exactly what the name of this community is. The name of this community is church. This is what God does through the Holy work, the Holy Spirit does through His church, right? He imparts, He increases, He strengthens faith through the same word and the forgiveness of sins. This is what church does. This is what church exists for. Okay, so what does Jesus do in our text? We see what Jesus does. Jesus rises. Jesus goes. Jesus finds. Jesus calls. This is what is going on. Jesus does all these things. Christ and the gospel messengers do what? They keep finding people. That is what we do, right? Jesus' word to Philip is, "Follow me." The gospel call, the gospel imperative is effective in Philip, right? So this presupposes the gospel word. Exactly what Philip has said. We've been in the scriptures, we understand the scriptures, we're looking for the Messiah. Boom. The Messiah says, "Follow me." He follows the Messiah, right? And what is the first reaction of Philip? He hustles off and he finds Nathanael, right? And what does he tell Nathanael? He says, "Just think of whom we have encountered. I've got to tell you this. The one we've been waiting for. The one we've been waiting for. The long-promised Messiah has come." This is how it works. Found, tell. Found, tell somebody else. Found, tell somebody else. Right? And when when Philip says, "We have found," who is we? Andrew, right, to this point? Andrew, Simon Peter, Nathaniel, right? Church. There's the church right there. Right now, the church consists of four people. But it's still church. They went, they found, they told. Right? With one of whom Moses and the prophets write. The longed for Messiah is here. Where did the message reside? The message resided in the Word of God. And the effective call of God is in the Word of God. And the waiters of the promise, those who are waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, are found by the Word. They are worked on through the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. Now, think of Nathanael's response. What is Nathanael's response to what Philip says? Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, I think what he's saying here is something to the effect of, what can you expect from Podunk? Okay? Like, you're expecting Jerusalem. Oh, yeah, the Messiah will come from Jerusalem. You know? It's like us picking some little small town around here and saying the next president is from this little small town. Really? You've got to be kidding me. Okay, now what is Philip's response to what Nathanael says? He doesn't try and argue Nathanael into the kingdom of God. He doesn't try and cajole Philip into the, or Nathanael into the kingdom of God. What does he say? He says, come and see. Come and see. Philip wants the Word to do its work. He invites Nathanael to see the Word made flesh. Now here's something that has played out in each and every one of our lives. The Holy Spirit has worked faith in our lives through the Word and the sacraments. Isn't this the activity of Philip? Right? This activity of Philip. Isn't this the exact same thing that has been done in your life and it has been done for you? Right? What else is baptism? Isn't that what baptism is? Okay, this is very important, right? Who are you? You are Israel. That's who you are. You are Israel. Okay? And what is Israel? Israel is the one who trusts in the promise of God. Where have we sat? We have sat under the fig tree of sin. Remember what Adam and Eve sowed together? To cover up their sin, they sowed together fig leaves. So now we maybe have a euphemism for being under sin. Under the fig tree. I saw you under the fig tree. Right? I saw you under sin. Okay, so the fig leaves are symbolic of what? They're symbolic of sin. I saw you under the burden of sin. What does Jesus recognize in Nathanael? Jesus recognizes in Nathanael a truster of forgiveness, a truster of the promise, right? A true Israelite. And what does a true Israelite do? A true Israelite trusts in the promises of God. So as church, as the new Israel, we are same with Nathanael. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What are we? We are the trusters in the forgiveness of our sins. I don't think many people who are believers in God, believers in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, doubt Jesus. We don't doubt Him very much. But one thing we do doubt is our response to Jesus. Right? Because sometimes our response to Jesus really isn't all that stellar. And we're pretty upset with ourselves for the sins that we still have and the sins we still commit. But what do we do in response to that? We are trusters in the promise. Trusters in the forgiveness of our sins. Right? Now, baptism then is the wonderful promise, the wonderful, wonderful display of all of this at work, right? It's a wonderful picture of this. Jesus has found each and every one of you. That's what has happened in your life. Jesus has found you. Okay? He found us through His Word. He found you through your parents, for the vast majority of us. He found you sitting under the fig tree of original sin. And then He then rescued you, and you became a Philip yourself. In other words, you became one who went and told, "I have seen the Messiah. Would you please come and see the Messiah with me?" Right? So when our children are born, what do? When we bring them to the baptismal font, we are evangelizing them. We are good newsing them. That is what we are doing when we bring our children to the baptismal font. So picture holding your son. Picture holding your daughter, your baby. Okay? So we're holding. You're holding your child, right? And you're bringing them to the waters of holy baptism. What are you saying? What exactly is going on? What are you saying there? Here's what you're saying. Come, little one. come and see. Come, my daughter, my son, I have something to show you. Not a something, I have a someone for you to meet. You are coming to meet your salvation. You are coming to see the King of Israel. Now, a baby cannot be reasoned into the kingdom of God. A baby cannot be convinced into the kingdom of God. A baby cannot choose the kingdom of God. Instead, like Nathaniel, they are brought to see the Savior. They are brought to the kingdom of God. That child, your child, anyone being baptized there in the sacrament meets Jesus in the water and in the Word. And that is where Jesus comes to them and meets them. And they are made a child of God. What is Jesus' word? Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is how disciples of Jesus are made. The Holy Spirit works in baptism there where the Word is made visible to us in, with, and through the water. And there the power of God is made known. It is only through the power of the Word that you and I come to Jesus Christ. What is God's will? God's will is to call individuals to eternal salvation, to draw them to Himself, to convert them and give them new birth and sanctify them through the means of the Word and in no other way. That's how God has chosen to work for us. And what do we do for the rest of our lives? We bring our children to Sunday school, right? We bring them to worship. We bring them to Sunday school. We take them to Bible study. We ourselves put our noses in our Bibles. Right? We continue to bring our children to see the Lord and to encounter Him as they do, right? They are taking to heart the Word. They are taking to heart the sacred Scriptures. They are learning to confess things like the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, the very words of God in the Holy Scriptures, right? They are coming to understand the right use of God's sacraments. And if perchance they should just stray from the flock, right? What is our answer to that? What shall we do? Well, no amount of threats, no amount of cajoling or begging will work. We simply invite them to be in the Word. If they are straying, son, daughter, you need to be back into the Word. Be in the Word. Let the Word challenge your doubts. Let the Word challenge you. Be in the Word where you will encounter your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Study the Word, examine the Word, and there in the Word you will meet your Savior yet again. The Jesus who constantly pursues them. The Jesus who constantly calls to them. Dear friends in Christ, we cannot force anybody into the true faith. We cannot force anyone to have faith in Jesus Christ. The world must encounter Christ. The world must be invited to come and see for themselves. And since it is the Word that the Holy Spirit works through, then we use the Word of God to do that. Be yourselves armed with that Word of God. Read that Word of God. Ponder that Word of God. Evangelize people with that Word of God. It is the Word that works. Once faith has arisen, then love and good works follow that. Love and good works follow faith. They don't precede it, they follow it. But I think right now that's something to work through another day. For our purposes this morning, Jesus finds, Jesus calls, we respond, we find, we call through the Word. We invite others. Come. Come and see. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
We rise now for the singing of the offertory. be seated for our organ interlude.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on weekends at 10 and 5 and on weekdays at 8 and 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Lord Jesus, great shepherd of your sheep, track us down. Find us, no matter if we are on the mountain or in the valley, drowning in a river or dying of thirst in a desert of our own making. Pursue us. And create in us clean hearts, renew our spirits, bring us the refreshment of your word, and bestow that faith which brings us the peace which passes all understanding. Build from us a house of holy stones, that we may in our turn, bold yet trembling, return to the darkness and invite others to your light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Gracious God, hear us as we implore your comfort upon Casey Jones and his family as they mourn the death of Casey's father, Bill. May Casey find comfort in your grace and in the confidence of the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting, looking forward to a joyous reunion on the day of resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O great physician of both body and soul, hear us as we pray for the hospitalized and the sick. Continue to strengthen Katrina's mother, Rosemary, as Rosemary battles COVID-related illnesses. She has been having good days and bad days, and we ask for Rosemary to remain confident in your love. Grant also unto Bob Presswood each strength necessary for him, as he also battles illness. May Bobby continue to trust in you and your grace for all things. We pray also for Jamie Smith's father-in-law, Robert Kane, as Robert enters hospice care. Grant unto Robert a faithful death in your time and according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, you call us into existence, and after our conception, you create our souls. You are the giver of all that is good. Accept the thanksgivings of Marilyn Clockingay as she has celebrated another year of life. Marilyn praises you for the family and the church family, for friends and friendships, for the gift of life and all of the gifts of living, as she looks forward to another year of your grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of the nations, Lord of all people, show your mercy to our country, even though we be a wayward people. Be merciful to us, bringing us back to your word. O Lord, do not give us the just reward of our sins. Keep, we pray you, our population from violence or sedition, war and bloodshed. Endow President-elect Biden with the wisdom to compromise, the strength to lead, the courage to stand for all Americans in the midst of partisan strife. May he and all our elected officials, new and returning, have hearts for we the people, so that this nation, by the people, of the people, and for the people, may not perish from the earth. These and all other petitions we bring before your throne of grace and mercy, praying the prayer your Son taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that cometh down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace. We continue with the singing of our closing hymn.
The closing hymn is number 783, Take My Life and Let It Be, hymn number 783 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
As I had mentioned, we did want to point out some of the announcements that are in our Zion's Light. First of all, it is a good announcement in the Zion's Light about the pancake and sausage sale, which we will not be having a pancake and sausage breakfast this year, but the PTO will be hosting a sausage sale. And the order forms for ordering sausage can be found at the school's website. You can call the school office, and they will be available Sunday mornings over on the gray shelf. Too many things in my hands. They'll be over on the gray shelf in the addition there. Is that right, Diane? You have some sausage order forms over there. And in the Zion's Light, this blurb here also has the phone numbers and websites for you, the school's phone number and the school website there. So you can take a quick look at that if you'd like to order sausage. Installation of officers will take place at the voters' meeting, which will be the last Tuesday of this month. Also, we're still accepting, in celebration of our 150th anniversary, throwback pictures. So if you have any pictures of you or friends in years and years ago, 19 whatever, please get them to Sam Opperman, and we'll get them posted. We're just taking turns posting some of those fun pictures to look at. Some of us with more hair back in those days, things like that. Also, you'll notice in your Zion's Light there's something also that is titled Convention Referendum. And that'll be, well, we're going to vote on that at our voters' meeting. Basically what this is, it's the Missouri Senate works on a three-year cycle, right? Every 3 years we meet in district convention, and then after following that, the synodical convention. But because many places can't meet because of the COVID restrictions, what we'd like to do is pause that for a year. So the Senate is taking a vote, the Senate synodical officers, and saying, okay, you might be able to meet in Texas, but you can't meet in California, Nevada, or Hawaii. Okay, so that district can't meet in convention. So they just want to hit the pause button. Everybody's offices for synodical offices are extended by 1 year, and then we just meet that following year. Hopefully the vaccines will take effect and this virus will have run its course and we'll all be able to meet in convention. So that's what we're voting on, but there are websites there that you can go and look at the president's letter and the resolution that is before us. Good to see so many folks here this morning. Be safe out there. I noticed under the snow is, a layer of ice. So do be careful, please, and may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.